This morning we are going to be in Mark chapter 11, actually in verses 15 through 19. I know that's a shock for some of you that it stayed the same, but that's all right. This morning we're going to talk about a passage that we generally, it hits the church calendar a lot of times right before Easter. And it's that day after the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry, you know, is that Palm Sunday when Jesus come riding into Jerusalem and the people laid down palm branches and shouted Hosanna to the Son, to the King, to the Son of David, and we know that was a celebrated time that showed that Jesus Christ was the perfect Lamb of God. And this morning, I want us to go to the next day. We can look back in the Scripture into verse 11. And it says, and Jesus went into Jerusalem. And this was on the day that before. And it says, and Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So he had looked around at all things. And the hour was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. So Jesus had come to the temple on that day, and then the next day he's going to come back again, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is that next day. But I wonder what he saw that night when he went into the temple that evening, and it was late, so he didn't stay there, but it said he looked around at all the things. And right prior to this had been the Passover. And depending on whether you were a Galilean Jew or a Judean Jew, the Passover, actually, their calendars were different. One went from morning till morning, and the other went from evening till evening. And that's the way they celebrated the Passover, depending on a Galilean Jew would have celebrated from morning till the next morning, and then a Judean Jew would have celebrated from sundown till sundown. And so either way, that really doesn't matter. But then Jesus, after he had ridden into Jerusalem, he comes in and he looks at the temple and he looks all around at all the things. Knowing what had just happened, I wonder what he saw. It doesn't tell us. It just says he looked around at all the things. I wonder if the things are talking about the different things in the temple that were there to help people, that the Mosaic Law had told them to put into the temple, and they were there, and these things, and we don't know if it was things like that, like the table of showbread, or we don't know what it was actually talking about. Or was it the things that the next day he has a problem with? We don't know, but what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what the temple looked like just 2 days after the Passover, when people traveled from all over to come to church. And then within 2 days, maybe even just one day, maybe it was even the first day of the week, we don't really know, but at least by Monday, on their calendar, things had drastically changed. Let's read the passage. If you'd read along with me, we're going to start in verse 15. It says, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just lay your word before you today. I pray that today it would be active and alive in our lives. We know it always is. But Lord, help us to take it today to understand what it is you have for us. Holy Spirit, move in this place. For if you don't, we are wasting our time. Lord, we want to love you more. Help us to understand the love you have for us. Help us to understand the guidance you have for us. Bless your word. In your name we pray. Amen. This is what's taking place, as we just read. Jesus comes back into the temple. Now, whether he saw it the day before and things were not the way they should have been, or maybe he comes in the day before and things are still okay. I mean, it's just one day after the Passover. How bad could it get in one day? But we know 2 days after the Passover that things are terrible in the temple. Now, this is, understand that this is the temple, the court of the Gentiles. It's the surrounding of the temple. This is the only place the Gentiles could go and worship. They could not go in the actual temple. So this is the only place where Gentiles could go and worship. If you and I were there, most of us, I'm assuming, this would have been the only place we could have went and worshiped. This was the place that he walks into, and he finds the temple defiled. And Jesus is never going to put up with that. He's never going to put up with the fact that the temple was defiled. He comes in that next day and he's going to drive out the money changers and turn over the tables. And so many people say, well, that just doesn't seem like the God that we know, the God that I've heard about, the God that is God of love. Well, let me explain this to you before we even start. The God that is the God of love is the same God that is a just God. You can't have one or the other. You can't have one without the other. If he is love, then he has to be just. If he is not just, he is not God. So he comes in and he sees something that is wrong. What they're doing is they're making worship convenient. They're not padding pews. They're not putting in air conditioning. They're not putting a fan up there so the preacher doesn't get hot. They are doing things to make themselves convenient. If you travel the long ways, we'll have a sheep or some doves or something there that you can buy. So you don't have to bring it from home. You just bring your money. Oh, by the way, there's a 10 to 12% markup on sheep this week. And so people wouldn't have to travel with that animal for a long period of time because people would come from distances to Jerusalem. And they would need to bring a sacrifice. Well, some people would come and they would have Roman coins or they would have Greek coins. And so they had a table there set up just specifically so that you could give me your Roman coins and I could give you some Jewish or some Tyrian coins so that you could use that at the temple. Because Roman coins and Greek coins were not any good in the temple. Because we're Jews and we need Jewish money. So who's running those tables? The Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders are making a 10 to 12% profit off of the Gentiles. Man, if you want to worship our God, it's going to cost you 10 to 12%. We'll make it convenient for you. You bring your money and we'll exchange the currency so that the money that you bring in you can use in our temple. We want your money because even as Jews, I can take your Roman money and go out back and I can get what I want. But in the temple, it has to be this. And so they made it convenient that you could come without an animal, you could come with money, and we'd make it easy for you to worship in the temple. That's what it had turned into. Jesus saw how they were turning this temple into something to profit them. If you come to church, understand what I'm saying and listen to me clearly. If you come to church for what you can get out of it, you are wrong. Yes, we all want to be closer to God, and that's something we need, and we need to be more of what God wants us to be, and so I need to change every Sunday. But the reason we should come here is to worship and glorify and honor our God. If you come for any other reason, you are wrong. Because if you're coming just to worship so that people can see you, you're wrong. It should be about what you can give to God today. And I'm not talking money, because Jesus run them out. There were going to be people that came after these money changers ran out that they had no way to exchange coins. They may have came without an animal expecting, but they came for the wrong reasons. We need to come to worship God. Jesus came into that temple and saw those things, and he drove them out. When he drove them out, he walks in, he sees all of this, and he politely asks them to leave. It's not the way it worked. He drove them out with anger. It was a righteous anger. What they were doing was defiling the temple of God, and he could not, as a just God, as a perfect Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he could not allow that to happen. So he steps up and he drives them out. He turns the tables over. This is one man. There's a lot of people in there. A lot of people are depending on those tables. A lot of people are depending on those doves. A lot of people are depending on those animals. And here this one man comes in and he just tears everything up. Because he's not going to put up with someone defiling the temple of God. He drove them out, flipped their tables over, and run them out of the building. He could have left right then, but he didn't. This next part is the part that got me all week long. After he turned over the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, it says he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Now, as you look at the temple, here they is it's not the main part of the temple, remember. This is the court of the Gentiles. And so people would take and go from one side, pass through the court of the Gentiles to get to the other side. It was a shortcut through town. That's what they were making. They were making the temple of God a shortcut. They were carrying their wares. If I bought something on this side of town and I lived on that side, I'll just cut through the temple. It's shorter. It's quicker. Or maybe I live on this side and I'm wanting to go buy something over there. Or maybe I've got a friend over there and I'm going to take them something. They were just carrying their wares through the temple. It wasn't people that were bringing things into the temple to stop. It says they were carrying them through the temple. They were using the temple as an easy way through life. Jesus not only drives out the ones that are there, says he will not allow people to walk through carrying their wares. So he evidently stayed there for a while. And his presence kept people from doing the things that were going to be so irreverent to God. It was irreverent to the temple. People might be in there worshiping. I'm walking through. They were so irreverent to the building, the temple. So what does that do in showing their reverence to God? They had none. I'm not coming here to worship. I'm coming here to make my life easier. I'm going to use this temple. I'm going to use this church. Oh, sorry. I'm going to use this temple to make my life easier. That's what they were doing. Then Jesus, he stops. And it says, after he stopped people from carrying them, and he would not allow any to carry their wares through the temple, then he taught, saying to them, "It is not written, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations?" He comes in and he drives out the money changers and tips the tables over and gets everybody out of there that's defiling the temple. And then he keeps people from using the temple irreverently. And after that's done, he doesn't leave. He stays there and he teaches. It says, then he taught them. He taught them what the temple of God was supposed to be. Because obviously they didn't know. He taught them that the temple of God was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Well, as a Jew, I don't care about those Gentiles out there. I don't care about those people of the world. This is my temple. But Jesus says it's written, and it's in Isaiah that it's quoted from, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." They should want all nations to come there and worship God. That's the desire. That's the plan for the temple, is that the temple will draw all people, give all people the opportunity to be in a connection with God, all nations. That's what he wants. And so he tells them what he wants. He tells them God's desire. And then he tells them what they've done. "But you have made it a den of thieves." A den of thieves was basically like a cave out along the main road. They would have a main road that would be a very popular thoroughfare between one town and another. And there would be caves along the side. And you didn't want to go down that road at a certain time of day because that's where the thieves hid. That's where they stayed. They had their own little den because they knew anybody that comes by, I can get anything from them I want. That's what they made this temple. We can sit here at this table and we can get anything from these people we want. They had made the temple of God profitable for them. And people obviously knew it. People knew that that cave was a den where the thieves stayed. So they dodged it. "Man, I'm not going over there during this time of day, or I want to be with a large group of people when I go by that, because I know those people are going to take everything I have." So I wonder how many of the Gentiles didn't go to church, didn't go to the temple, because they knew they were going to be taken advantage of by the thieves at the table. Those religious people at the table. How sad is that? But Jesus stays and teaches. And surely that's all he taught, that his house should be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. But it goes on to say that the scribes and the chief priests heard it, sought how to destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. It leads us to believe that he stayed there all day teaching. And then he left the city. Jesus was pretty frustrated with the sight, the way he found the temple. And as sad as it was, I wonder how God sees me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." If you are a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's not me. It says it two different times. It says it in 1 Corinthians 3 and again in 1 Corinthians 6, that your body is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us as Christians. You were created as a Christian to be a temple of God. You were created to be a house of prayer to God for you, that God might reach you and maybe even use others, use you to reach others. There used to be a song years ago, and I don't even remember who read it. It was called, I don't even know what it's called. Now, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to spare you that. But it talked about if Jesus came to your, that's the name of it, if Jesus came to your town today. And it talked about what it would be like if Jesus came to any town, and it named a bunch of towns across the United States. What would it be like if Jesus came to your town today? If they saw him riding in, long hair flying in the wind, would they love him down in Shreveport today? And that's as close as I'm going to get to singing this morning, I promise, okay? But I wonder if Jesus would just look at the temple that we are, what would he see? Now, close to the Passover, I'm sure things were pretty good. I'm sure the temple was sparkling. Everything was great. But just a matter of 1 to 2 days later, the temple had all these things to just make their life better. Just make the religious people's life better. Jesus came in and saw defiled things in the temple. If Jesus looked at us, and I say if, just for our benefit, because he does, he sees it. But we need to understand that as a temple, we are in the same state as they were. We want our Christian life to be as easy as possible. And so many times, because I want my Christian life to be as easy as possible, I end up driving people away. Because people don't want what I've got. Jesus didn't come up and look into the temple and say, "Man, there is so much garbage in there, I'm not going in." No, he came in. He walked into the temple and he did something about it. Too many times you and I, as the temple of God, allow those little things. Well, you know, the doves were good things. Because a poor person, that's all they could get. They couldn't afford a lamb. They couldn't afford, you know, something extravagant. They couldn't afford a lot of the things, but they could afford a dove. So surely that was a good thing. No, not in the temple. It might have been a good thing outside the temple. But if you allow those things that might be good outside the temple to get in the temple where there's not supposed to be anything but holy and righteousness before God, then you've got a problem. So for us, he's willing to come in. First thought, well, you know, when I was 21 years old, I was sitting in the choir loft and Christ come in and he... And I surrendered my life to him and I give my life to him. And so he cleansed that and he made me that temple of God. But you know, I can't even imagine how many times I've had to go to him and say, "The temple is filthy. I can't clean it." Because what happens is just like when I go to clean things at my house, my wife will find the things moved from this place to over here where you can't see it when you come in. Or I can just pull the door shut and you'll never know what's in that room. A lot of you are smiling because you do the same thing. But what I'm saying is we do the same thing spiritually. We know there are things in our life that we think, I've got to clean this up. I can't allow Andy to see this in my life, so I've got to hide it. If you could clean your own life out, there would be no reason for Jesus. You cannot do it on your own. Oh, I can be a better person, but I'm not going to be clean before God unless He does it. Well, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a lot of years. 40 years now I've been a Christian, and so I know I'm better than I used to be. But that temple, when Jesus walked in, was not what it should have been. And neither am I, and neither are you. But if we're content with it, it'll never change. But Jesus came, seeing what was there, looking at all the things the day before, He was willing to come in and clean everything out. Man, that is such a great feeling. When you know you've poured your heart out before God and you say, God, cleanse me, forgive me. I am not what I should be, and only the blood of Jesus can purify me from my unrighteousness. And then 2 days later, maybe even just a day later, maybe just hours later. So what do we do? When Jesus drove them out, remember what He did? He stayed there and wouldn't allow anything corrupt to even come through the temple. That's where we've got to get to. Yes, we want Him to drive those things out that shouldn't be there, but what kept those other things from coming through? Maybe they're just passing through. They're not staying. They're not setting up camp. They're not putting up another table. They're not bringing in more animals. He didn't even want them to come through, because even in coming through, they defiled the temple. And even if it's something that you're watching on TV or you're listening to, or an attitude that you have, even if it's just a passing thing, if you dwell on it, it becomes a defiling of the temple. He doesn't even want to allow that in. So what do? The presence of Jesus stayed there and would not allow those things in. I need the presence of God in my life all the time. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just on Thursday Bible study, not just on Monday night. I need the presence of God in my life all the time. The Holy Spirit dwells in us as a temple, but you and I both know that we quench the Spirit and we do not allow the Holy Spirit to do anything some days but just live there. But the Holy Spirit that lives in us is the empowerment of God. And when we dwell on it, when we speak to Him, when we walk and we talk with God, then His presence is known in my mind and active in my life, and that will help me to keep those things from even passing through. When His Word says, don't even put these things in front of your eyes. Think on these good things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And His Word tells us all of these things. But unless we keep His presence active in the forethought of our minds, it's just like if Jesus drove the money changers out and then walked out. Who's coming in the other side? Something to defile the temple. We have to have the presence of God in our lives. Because you know, He comes in, He clears out all the bad, He stays, doesn't allow anything else in, and once all the bad is gone, once all the evil is stopped from coming in, then He teaches. He didn't come in and start teaching right off the bat. He didn't come in and start teaching and say, oh, excuse me, Mr. Dove Seller. No. He got rid of the garbage. He stopped what came in that was irreverent, and then when he had their attention, he began to teach. This is what I want you to be like. I want you to be a house of prayer. This is what the temple of God should be. It should be that house of prayer where people are in contact with God. That's what you're supposed to be. Every day, all the time, the purpose of the temple was supposed to be a house of prayer, a house that made contact with God continually. That's what you and I are supposed to be. Not saying that's what I am, but that's what I'm supposed to be. So once he gets rid of the garbage and once he keeps all the other stuff out, then he's able to teach me. But not just teach me what he wants me to be, but to teach me the error of my ways. You're supposed to be a house of prayer, but you're a den of thieves. Man, how? If you're the high priest at this place, if you're one of the religious leaders, maybe you weren't selling things, maybe you weren't a money changer, but you're one of the high priests in the temple, and you hear Jesus come in, this guy that's claiming to be the Son of God, though they don't think he is, they come in and they hear him say, "Your temple's a den of thieves." How do you think that made them feel? They may not have believed Jesus was who he was, but they knew they probably shouldn't be selling things there in the temple. They knew probably what Jesus was saying was right. We've made a mockery of this temple. Do we look at our lives as though we've made the temple of God a den of thieves? A place that is going to turn people away from God. Man, as a Christian, their pastor does this. I don't want that. I will not follow that. He has nothing I want. His life is a den of thieves. Only when we acknowledge that it is the worst thing, because one sin that you keep in your life, one sin that I keep in my life, cost Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Well, it's not just a little dove. One dove was enough. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we might have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He rose from the grave so that we could have eternal life, that one day we'll be resurrected. We'll spend eternity with him in heaven. So one day I will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and he'll say, "Hey, how's your temple doing?" I don't like that question. Ask me a different question. Only when we allow him to clean out the garbage and we spend enough time with him that his presence is in our lives, will we really learn what he's saying? Will we really see everything in our life that is not what it should be as a den of thieves? That's where we're at. I'm sure that temple wasn't perfect, but the things that were there that defiled that temple were allowed in by the religious people. He came, he cleaned, he stayed, and he taught. How long has it been since he taught? How long has it been since he taught in your temple? None of us can speak for anybody else. I'm sitting here staring at this front pew because I know it's bouncing back at me. How long has it been since God taught you in your temple? Because if he hasn't taught me, it's probably because I'm allowing too many things just to distract me. Maybe I'm allowing things in to defile the temple. maybe I'm not even letting him in the door of the temple. Where are you at? Maybe you've accepted Christ. The world is going to attack. We talked about this Wednesday night. If there is ever a place that Satan is going to attack, it is in the church. It is in the life of a Christian that he's going to attack. He has no reason to go out to some brothel and attack because he's already won that. He's going to attack us as Christians. The Christians make up the body of Christ. That is what Satan wants to attack. He can't attack the head, which is Jesus Christ. So what's he going to do? He's going to attack the body. And that's you and me. And that's in this place. And that's in every other church that worships Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that preaches the gospel. If he hasn't taught, then maybe he's not staying there. Man, we need him as Christians. We need him to stay. And not stay once a week, not stay twice a week or 4 days a week. Every day, all day long. Well, Pastor, that's not possible. Then why does the Word of God tell us to do it? God's Word is never going to tell us to do something that we're not going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do. And he says, pray without ceasing. He doesn't mean to be down on your knees all the time. He means to be in an attitude of prayer and communication with God on a daily basis all the time, without ceasing. Well, I talk to him enough. If he doesn't stay, then it's probably because it's not a clean place. You ever been to those places where you just don't want to stay there because it's not clean? Maybe sometimes the reason the presence of God doesn't dwell and spend time and stay prevalent in my life is because there's things in there that shouldn't be there. He's willing to clean them out, but I want to hang on to them, and you want to hang on to them. And maybe the reason he hasn't cleaned it is because you haven't let him in. Let him in knowing what he wants to do. Oh, I want him to come in and teach me. I want him to come in and bless me. I want him to come in and guide me. But I don't want him to come in and start cleaning things out. Maybe you've never accepted Christ at all in your life. Maybe you've been to church all your life. Maybe you know all the things that I've talked about already. But you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God created you to be a temple of God. He created you for a relationship. And he's willing to do all these things. He's willing to clean and stay and teach. But he's not going to force himself on you. He loves you. Well, I just don't understand. Welcome to the club. I will never understand why God loves me. I'll never doubt it. But I'll never understand why the God of all creation would love me enough to send his son to die on the cross for me so that he could have a relationship with me. A den of thieves. If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, don't wait. Christian, if you think your temple is clean, I need to talk to you so you can help me with mine. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your word. Lord, open our eyes. open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, speak in this place. Speak to me, through me, and in spite of me. May you move in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.